Chapter 9. The swallows flew in the curves of an 8 above the river gleam in the wet June's last beam. Like little crossbows animate the swallows flew in the curves of an 8 above the river gleam. Planing up shavings of crystal spray a moorhen darted out from the bank thereabout, and through the stream shine ripped his way. Planing up shavings of crystal spray a moorhen darted out. Closed were the kingcups. And the mead dripped in monotonous green, though the day's morning sheen had shone it golden and honey-bead. Closed were the kingcups, and the mead dripped in monotonous green. And never I turned my head, alack, while these things met my gaze through the pane's drop-drenched glaze, to see the moor behind my back. Oh, never I turned, but let, alack, these less things hold my gaze. The musical box, lifelong, to beseem the fair color of the time, that there was standing shadowed near a spirit who sang to the gentle chime of the self-struck notes, I did not hear, I did not see. Thus did it sing to the mindless lyre, that played indoors as she came to listen for me without. Oh, value what the nonce outpours this best of life, that shines about your welcoming. I had slowed along after the torrid hours were done, though still the posts and walls, and road flung back their sense of the hot-faced sun, and had walked by Stourside Mill, where broad stream lilies throng. And I descried the dusky house that stood apart, and her, white muslined, waiting there in the porch with high expectant heart, while still the thin mechanic air went on inside. At whiles would flit swart bats, whose wings, bewebbed and tanned, whirred like the wheels of ancient clocks. She laughed a-hailing as she scanned me in the gloom, the tuneful box intoning it. Lifelong to be I thought it, that there watched hard by a spirit who sang to the indoor tune, oh make the most of what is nigh. I did not hear in my dull soul swoon I did not see. On Sturminster footbridge on onomatopoeic, reticulations creep upon the slack stream's face, when the wind skims irritably past, the current clucks smartly into each hollow place that years of flood have scrabbled in the pier's sodden base, the floating lily leaves rot fast. On a roof stand the swallows ranged in wistful waiting rows, till they arrow off and drop like stones among the eyot with is at whose foot the river flows, and beneath the roof, as she who in the dark world shows as a lattice gleam when midnight moans. Royal sponsors, the king and the queen will stand to the child, 'twill be handed down in song, and it's no more than their deserving, with my lord, so faithful at court so long, and so staunch and strong. Oh, never before was known such a thing. 'Twill be a grand time for all, and the beef will be a whole roast bullock, and the servants will have a feast in the hall, and the ladies a ball. While from Jordan's stream by a traveler, in a flagon of silver wrought, and by caravan, stagecoach, wain, and wagon a precious trickle has been brought, clear as when caught. The morning came. To the park of the pier the royal couple bore, and the fawn was filled with the Jordan water, and the household awaited their guests before the carpeted door. But when they went to the silk-lined cot the child was found to have died. What's now to be done? We can disappoint not the king and queen, the family cried with eyes spread wide. Even now they approach the chestnut drive. The service must be read. Well, since we can't christen the child alive, by God we shall have to christen him dead. The Marquis said. Thus, breath forsaken, a corpse was taken to the private chapel, yea, and the king knew not, nor the queen, God wot, that they answered for one return to clay at the fawn that day. Old furniture, I know, not how it may be with others who sit amid relics of householdry, that date from the days of their mother's mothers, but well I know how it is with me continually. I see the hands of the generations, that owned each shiny familiar thing in play on its knobs and indentations, and with its ancient fashioning still dallying. Hands behind hands, growing paler and paler, as in a mirror a candle flame shows images of itself, each frailer as it recedes, though the eye may frame its shape the same. On the clock's dull dial a foggy finger, moving to set the minutes right with tentative touches, that lift and linger in the wont of a moth on a summer night, creeps to my sight. On this old viol too, fingers are dancing as Willem just over the strings by the nut, the tip of a bow receding, advancing in airy quivers, as if it would cut the plaintive gut. And I see a face by that box for tinder, glowing forth in fits from the dark, and fading again, as the linton cinder kindles to red at the flinty spark, or goes out stark. Well, well. It is best to be up and doing. The world has no use for one today who eyes things thus no aim pursuing. He should not continue in this stay, but sink away. A thought in two moods. I saw it pink and white revealed upon the white and green. The white and green was a daisied field, the pink and white ethylene. And as I looked it seemed in kind, that difference they had none. The two fair bodiments combined as varied means of one. A sense that, in some mouldering ear, as one they both would lie, made me move quickly on to her to pass the pale thought by. She laughed and said, "Up there, to me, you look so weather-browned, and brown in clothes, you seem to be made of the moldy ground." The last performance, I am playing my oldest tunes, declared she, "the old tunes I know, those I learned ever so long ago." Why she should think just then she'd play them silence cloaks like snow. When I returned from the town at nightfall notes continued to pour as when I had left 2 hours before. "It's the very last time," she said in closing, "from now I play no more." A few morns onward found her fading, and, as her life out flew, I thought of her playing her tunes right through, and I felt as he had known of what was coming, and wondered how she knew. 1912. You on the tower, you on the tower of my factory, what do you see up there? Do you see enjoyment with wide wings advancing to reach me here? I see enjoyment with wide wings advancing to reach you here. Too good. Soon I'll come and ask you to tell me again thereon. Well, what is he doing now? Hoy, there. He still is flying on. Waiting till I have full finished. Good. Tell me again anon. Three, hoy, watchman. I'm here. When comes he? Between my sweats I am chill. You there, working still? Why, surely he reached you a time back, and took you miles from your mill. He duly came in his winging, and now he has passed out of view. How can it be that you missed him? He brushed you by as he flew. The interloper, and I saw the figure, and visage of madness seeking for a home. There are three folk driving in a quaint old chaise, and the cliffside track looks green and fair. I view them talking in quiet glee as they drop down towards the puffin's lair by the roughest of ways. But another with the three rides on, I see, whom I like not to be there. No, it's not anybody you think of. Next day dwelling appears by a slow sweet stream where two sit happy, and half in the dark. They read, helped out by a frail wicked gleam. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.